You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
It's week 17 of the Bet Slippin' Podcast is back. It's your homie, Jeff Clark, the host here, and I'm with my handicap and homie and betting buddy, Nate Dogg, to help me break down week 17 in the NFL. What's up, Nate?
What's up? Back in action.
Yeah, I missed last week. Sorry to the listeners. It was an abrupt cancellation, but your boy Jeff, me, got added to the health and safety protocols list, so I was too sick to record on our scheduled recording day, or even the next day, and then that and then the following day was Christmas Eve, so he just foregoed the entire Bet Slippin' NFL week podcast, week 16 podcast. So sorry about that. Although my contest didn't do so well, but I did probably withhold a whole bunch of winners that you could have had in your guys' ear holes, courtesy of our sharp Nate. Nate, you're killing it this year. What's your Bet Slippin' podcast record?
Yeah, so we didn't go over them week 15 when Minty was on. I was 3-1 that week, so I'm up to 26-15.
Damn, good shit, dude. What's that winning percentage like? Hold on.
I don't know, but the listeners are up units. I felt special because some dude asked me for my best bets on Twitter, and that had a warm spot in my heart.
Right now, 26-15 is a 63% winning percentage, so looking really good, making us look good. I'm anchoring us or holding
almost
us back.
Almost guaranteed to end the season plus 500. That's all we're looking for.
Yeah, I am not guaranteed to finish above 500. I'll tell you that. I don't know what I went in week 15. You don't happen to have those numbers in front of you, do you?
No, I don't even know if I tweeted it out, to be honest. I mean, I could go back and listen to it. I had them, but we didn't go over them, so I deleted them. And
yeah, I know that I hit my teaser. I whiffed on my under, or actually, no, I got my under, I think. I don't know. I'm all out of sorts here. Let's just move on to week 17 and pat you on the back and celebrate your success, because I am not having any success this season. It's brutal. I was 2-3 in the circuit contest last week. I'm 7 games below 500. I need a miracle to finish 500 this season, which is really the only hope, the only thing that I'm really rooting for in my NFL handicapping life. It's a struggle, but hopefully I can make some units back in the playoffs. I usually get hot for the wild card round, which is a couple weeks away. How do you feel about this time of year, generally speaking, from like a handicapping perspective or just like a fan perspective?
I think it's kind of the same vibe I get with the bowl games. It's weird because some games you have teams that should be laser focused and not teams that should kind of just slack. But the bowl games, you have so many people out, you don't know really who's playing. That's kind of how I feel when I try to bet on like the Texans or like the Jags last week. I bet on their plus 2.5, and it was just like one of the most brutal bad beats I've had. But yeah, generally speaking, kicking it up to the games that matter the most are kind of the best. You get to watch every single bet on a national television. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, there's some pretty good games on this week's card. We're going to go through rotation order, which is just a list of the games according to your sports book or according to Vegas sports books. There's no Thursday game this week. There's no Saturday game actually as well. So it's all Sunday with the lone exception of a Monday night football game, which we'll obviously discuss.
Sunday. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. 15 games on Sunday. So it stinks. I like the Thursday night football game. I usually do pretty well in it. So sucks on having it, especially in my time of need. But the first game here on the sheet is the Las Vegas Raiders visiting the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are favored -6 on the consensus. the total sitting at 45 even. There's a whole bunch of COVID news going on with both teams, really throughout the entire league, and it's hard to make like heads or tails of it. So like that's pretty much going to be a sticking point or an issue that we have as we're handicapping each and every game. Carson Wentz was added to the COVID list, but the NFL updated its guidelines in accordance to the CDC's changing of their guidelines. So not really sure who's going to play. So I'm kind of just looking at this whole thing as like, I factor everyone in, you know, does that make sense? Or how are you going about these COVID situations?
Well, it's crazy right now because I'm pretty sure Wentz has already been ruled out because he's unvaccinated or whatever. But I know like Darius Leonard's still on that list. Like if he doesn't play, that's huge. I mean, he's arguably top 10 defensive player in the entire NFL. So if he doesn't play, that's huge. I don't think the Raiders, I'm looking at their list, they don't seem that banged up when it comes to COVID. But again, Wentz is huge enough. I was honestly kind of shocked that didn't know if it was ready to give my handicap, but I was kind of shocked at the 6.5. So obviously Taylor's been a beast and the Colts are covering at a good rate. They're 10-5 against the spread, but their pass defense isn't that great. And obviously all the Raiders do is kind of throw it with Derek Carr. Indiana ranks 16th in pass defense. I understand they have Jonathan Taylor in the second ranked rush offense, but I think this is a game the Raiders have to win. This is almost a game both teams really need to win. And yeah, oddly, when I was looking this up, when I was kind of doing a little bit of research for this game, you see that Vegas is 4-3 on the road and Indy is 4-4 at home. So Indy has been worse at home this season and Vegas has been worse on the road. Now, I know that's probably not like it's probably more an anomaly than like the norm, but, and it's not going to be a best bet, but I would prefer the Raiders here. I'm not going to play the points. 45 feels like a trap with two explosive offenses, two decent defenses. I like the Raiders. I just don't know when you have the Colts and you don't have a great pass attack and Wentz is out, and so that pass attack already gets depleted. I just don't know if Jonathan Taylor can carry them an entire game without great quarterback play. So I like Raiders +6.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Currently, the consensus is Raiders or Colts favorite 6. So that's like the number we would have to give out. You said this isn't going to be a best bet for you, though.
Yeah, Raiders +6 is not a best bet. It's something I like, though.
Yeah, I lean to the Raiders, and I might actually end up playing the Raiders as well. You know what? I am going to play the Raiders. I'll give it out. Raiders +6. They're 9-6 against the spread as a road dog over the past 3 years. They typically perform pretty well on the road, especially as an underdog. And this preseason line, the Colts were -6 during the preseason. Now, the opening line on this was the Colts -8.5. I'm confused on where the 2.5 points of how the Colts got 2.5 points better than the Raiders from the preseason line. I mean, I would say that it's more than fair to say that the Raiders exceeded expectations, especially if you look at how their seasons played out. Like their star wide receiver, or not their star wide receiver, but one of their wide receivers, famously, you know, killed someone in a drunk driving accident. John Gruden got ousted as the head coach, and Darren Waller has been injured for a series of games, but the Las Vegas Raiders are still in the hunt here for the playoffs. I know Indianapolis is rolling through teams and they've looked great recently, but I feel like now is a buy low spot or sell high spot for the Colts and a buy low spot for the Raiders. Also, I thought Josh Jacobs looked awesome last week against the Denver Broncos. I mean, granted, it's the Denver Broncos; they're not that great of a defense or anything, but like, I do like the way he's trending and like the way he's running. And I also think the Vegas pass rush could get there on the Indianapolis Colts. According to PFF, the Las Vegas Raiders are 6th in pressure rate, and Indianapolis is dead last in pressure rate allowed. So I think the Max Crosby and the defensive line for the Las Vegas Raiders could get in Carson Wentz's face if Carson Wentz is even the starter. They're saying that he could end up playing if he doesn't self-report any symptoms, which would be highly unlikely. So I almost assume he's going to play, but I like the Raiders here plus six. The one thing that the Raiders are missing out on is John Gruden. And just a random note that I have here, Nate, or thing that I wanted to like mention was the passing of John Madden, you know, the former Raiders coach and broadcasting legend. I think that would be like an opportunity for John Gruden to just get the locker room pumped up. Like, let's win one in the memory of John Gruden. And I don't know if the interim coach, Rich Bisaccia, or however the hell you say his name, or Derek Carr can get the same motivation out of the team. But I do feel like there is going to be, hey, let's win one in the memory of John Madden. I think that could be an element here. Maybe I'm reaching a little bit on that, but I don't know. I like the Raiders over the Colts in this one. So that's my first like of the game or of the card, but move along to the next game, which is a game I'll stay away from. That's my New York Giants visiting the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears are favored 6 in the consensus. The total's down to 36.5. I want to take a shot on the total, go on the over, just because, like, if anything, the Giants offense could be so bad that maybe they give up, like, short fields with turnovers. Or, like, I don't know, the Bears defense isn't even that good. So perhaps, like, Mike Glennon gets it going or hits a couple deep shots to Kenny Galladay or Kadarius Toney. But, you know, I have a pretty strong track record of not betting on Giants games, so I'm going to just continue that. But do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of interesting that Saquon came back and he's so injury prone. I kind of figured they would have just shut him down for the season. But he's got 10 straight carries, 10 or more straight carries. He's hit 15 or more straight carries in the last 3 games. So they're still rushing Saquon quite a bit. He hasn't really delivered that well yet, but they're rushing him, which shows me that they're at least making an attempt to like put their best foot forward in these games. And how that plays into this game is the Bears, like you said, they don't have a great defense, and they actually have an awful rush defense. The rush defense is giving up 124 yards per game, which is the 25th in the league. Their pass defense is what excels, but as me and you talked about off script later, Mike Glennon sucks. So
yeah,
we're not going to have to worry about the Giants going crazy with the passing, and their weapons out wide aren't the greatest anyway. I have a tough time saying that 1-4-11 team is that much better than 1-5-10 team, especially almost a touchdown difference. The Bears are also just 2-5 at home. Yeah, personally speaking, and Chicago put up 25 last week, I think I might throw something on the over. I don't see why this couldn't end. I mean, that's such a low total, 21-17 or something, 24-14. Those are just
21-17 gets there.
Yeah, like I definitely see Chicago being able to put up 24, 27 points. And I think the Giants are one of the teams that, given the Bears' lack of rush defense, can hang with them. So I'm actually here for the over in the Giants. It's such a bad play. This game just sucks overall. I mean, the Giants are 6-9 on the spread. The Bears are 5-10. Like, neither of the teams are good. No one's going to be watching the game. But if I had to bet it, I would bet Giants in the over.
Oh, I'll be watching this game.
Yeah, you'll be watching this game. No one else will be watching this game.
Yeah, just
actually, I don't know. I bet this game ranks in the top half of games watched because those are both two huge markets.
That's true. And the Giants fan base is shockingly loyal at this point, though. They're getting pretty depressing. We're getting depressing because of just how terrible the front office situation is. But yeah, I don't know.
Hey, Danny Dimes is coming back next year.
Yeah, dude. It's so depressing as a Giants fan. You know, Danny Dimes needs to run to get the most out of his own game and his own production, but every time he runs, he gets injured. So it's like, I don't know, just a vortex of screwed for the Giants. Like, they're just They just can't get out of their own way. I don't. It's crazy what's happened to an otherwise like proud franchise and proud organization. But whatever. Not here to bemoan the Giants' lack of success. Let's talk about the next New York team, the other New York team. Their stadium mate, the New York Jets, which hosts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The tip-off for that, or the kickoff for that game, is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The Bucs are favored 13 when they go into the Meadowlands to play the Jets. The total is at 45. I thought I saw you have a play on the under here. Is that true?
I think I definitely do have a play on the under here. I think the Bucs are just, they're absolutely just brutally beaten up. Mike Evans is out for this year, or maybe not for the year, but he's out for this game. I saw Chris Godwin's out. Gronk doesn't play all the snaps anyway. I don't know. I don't trust their offense without the two of their top three weapons. And then on the other side, you have the Jets. Last week, they put up, like, Michael Carter went crazy on the Jags, and I actually bet the Jags in that game, and it kind of made me mad because two of the touchdowns they gave up were like a 100-yard punt return and a 52-yard Zach Wilson run. Well, the Bucs aren't giving that up. Like, the Bucs aren't that bad. So I prefer the under here. I don't see the Jets getting over 17, and I really don't see the Bucs putting up 30 given who they're missing either. Yeah, that's kind of all I had. I didn't have much more than that. Just kind of the reasoning of one team's missing players, one team has a good defense, the other team is just not good. I mean, the Jets are 5-10 at the spread. They're one of the worst betting teams in the league. So I think I would just take the under here personally.
Yeah, I was trying to find an argument to make on behalf of the Jets under the guise of, like, this is just too many points to be laying on the road with Tampa Bay, who typically performs a little worse on the road. Their road record's 5-3. What's their spread record on the road? The Bucks.
Their spread record on the season's 8-7.
Yeah, on the road they're 3-5 with a -3.6 ATS margin. So I feel like the better play would be to take the Jets, but the Jets' points last week, like you said, they're kind of fluky, right? They had like a 60-yard run from Zach Wilson, which you just can assume won't be there this week against the Bucs. And Michael Carter going off against the Jaguars is just another thing that you just can't assume will happen against the Tampa Bay Bucs defense.
Yeah, and that plays right into the Bucs' strength, too. The Bucs' rank, they're giving up under 88 yards a game on the ground. They're giving up 87.5, third in the league. Carter's not doing that again.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, they're... Tampa Bay is by far the best rushing defense in the league. Well, not by far, but are definitely in the conversation for best rushing defenses in the league. I could see their offense putting up a stinker. They're a lot better of an offense on the at home than on the road, but I just can't get there with the Jets. And I took the Panthers last week against the Tampa Bay Bucs, and the Tampa Bay Bucs just slaughtered them, beat them 32-6, and pretty much a snoozer. I mean, the Carolina Panthers scored in the first drive, and then the Bucs put up 32 of the next 35 points. So I don't know. I kind of had the feeling that the Bucs didn't play that well last week, and they still just crushed the Carolina Panthers, and they could do the same this week with the Jets. So I'm not going to play that game. The next game here on the sheet is the Atlanta Falcons visiting the Buffalo Bills. This is another huge point spread. The Buffalo Bills are favored 14.5 currently in the consensus. The total is 43.5, which is down from 44, even though most of the action is on the over. This is another game that I really want nothing to do with. Usually the Bills cover big spreads and really beat up on teams, and the Falcons haven't shown up as big favorites or as big underdogs, but I don't feel strongly enough about that to take the Bills -14.5, and it also could be a bit of like a hangover game or letdown game, right? They just played a huge division matchup against the New England Patriots. A big get right spot for them. So I could see them kind of snoozing through the first half and the Falcons keeping it close before maybe the Bills pull away. But it's definitely not any actionable intel. Do you have anything on this game?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of these teams that are 9-6, like my Bengals are maybe 8-7, and they can't really afford to have these hangover games. The Bills are 2-1-1 at least since like week 4 or whatever as double digit favorites. They beat Carolina when they were 14.5 point favorites, and they beat the Jets. So the last two times they were plus 10 point double digit favorites, they've covered. I like them to cover here. Again, I don't think it's a best bet. Like we were talking about earlier, what is the double digit point spread? They're covering at like a 60% or 62% rate this year.
Yeah, 23-15-1. I believe that's a 61% ATS
cover rate. Yeah, and then you also have to consider, like we were talking about in previous games, the Falcons' attack is through Matt Ryan in their air game. Even without Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts has been getting more involved. They still rank 16th in passing yards, and they rank 31st in rushing yards. Well, the Bills don't care if you rank good in rushing yards. You can run on them. You can't pass on them. Hyde and Pryor, one of the two names, is in their secondary, and they're really good. Their secondary is really good. So mm-hmm. I would take the points. I would take the 14. I don't know about the over. I really don't trust the Falcons offense enough.
You would lay the 14?
I think I would lay the 14. I would take the 14 for the Bills. I don't trust the Falcons offense enough to go with the points. I mean, they're averaging under 20 per game. I understand the Bills are getting healthy. Beasley's off the list. Gabriel Davis is off the list. They are really not impacted. They have two guys of their whole 52 or whatever that are on the COVID list. So they're pretty healthy. I really just like the Bills here. And I mean, I've been a big Bills fan all season. I thought Josh Allen was the preseason MVP. So,
I mean, he's playing himself back into the race, right?
Yeah. I
mean,
I don't think anyone's catching A-Rod at this point, but,
No, I mean, it's kind of a two-man race between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. But with Aaron Rodgers kind of leading the pack currently, but yeah, I know. I'm with you. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the best, or is going to be the MVP this year. Dude, the Atlanta Falcons are just terrible. I don't know. Like, they've been positive in DVOA three times this year, and they're 7-8. So they've won the statistics in three of their seven wins. I know at one point in the season they had four victories of a combined 14 points. You know, they beat the Giants by three. Like, the Falcons suck. I couldn't get behind either side in this one, but it would definitely be the Bills if I were to play either way or bet it either way. The next game here is probably the headliner of the isn't the 1 o'clock game. I think the Cardinals Cowboys is a 4:25 Eastern Standard game, but the Cowboys are up to 5.5 point favorites. They opened at 3 point favorites. The look ahead line was 3 points. The total is at 51.5, which has been steamed up from a 50.5 point look ahead total. I like the Cardinals in this game, more of a lean than a like. But how do you feel about it?
Oh, I'm cool with taking the Cowboys here. We can go oppo on this one. Cowboys are the best covering team in the league. After what I saw last week, I'm not gonna hate against them. 12-3 against the spread. They're at home. Pretty sure they can lock, if they haven't already locked up a playoff spot. I mean, I think they could be gunning for the number one spot in the NFC. Yeah, I'm a big Cowboys believer now after watching how dynamic that offense was last week. Looked like a college game with how many they were scoring out there. It's not a ton of like great analysis behind that. I was just so impressed with them last week, and they've been covering all season that it's tough for me to go against them.
Yeah, I this is a pros versus Joes game, at least according to the betting market or pregame.com. Around 60% of the cash is on the Cardinals, 70% of the action's on the Cowboys. But the market is reacting to the public. They've taken it from 3 to -5.5. I just feel like it's an all-in spot for Arizona. I think they've clinched the playoffs themselves, but they're really sliding in an epic way. How many games have they lost in a row now? Maybe not that many in a row, but they've certainly underperformed. They lost 3 in a row, got bludgeoned, not bludgeoned, but lost convincingly, I would say, to the Colts last week. They got bludgeoned by the Detroit Lions, lost at home to the Rams in a game that probably wasn't as close as the final score indicates. But I just feel like it's a good buy low spot for the Cardinals and a good sell high spot for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you made the point that the Cowboys are 12-3 against the spread, which is the best ATS record in the NFL. Good and fine. But you know, I do think there is some regression that's due. And you know, there's not much regression that could happen because there's only 2 games left. But the Cardinals are also 9-6 against the spread, and they actually play a lot better on the road. They're 7-1 away from Arizona, and 7-1 against the spread in those games as well. So I'll take the Cardinals +5.5 here in this spot.
It's quite frankly insane that they're 7-1 on the road and 3-4 at home.
I know. It's so random, right? The next game here we have is the Carolina Panthers visiting the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints just put up a stinker on Monday Night Football with Ian Book getting his first career start. Carolina also got beat up at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 32-6. We talked about that earlier. Saints are favored 7. The total is 39.5. There's not a lot of market action in this game. I don't know. I'm assuming the Saints have a whole bunch of COVID stuff, and so do the Carolina Panthers. Everyone does. But do you have a play in this game either which way?
So for the sake of just noting where I'm getting this stuff, I'm on Sporting News that said they updated it 9 hours ago, and we're talking 21 players are on this COVID-19 tracking list for the Saints. Jeez. I mean, we're talking Taysom Hill, Malcolm Jenkins, Trevor Siemian, DeMario Davis, who could be a top 5 linebacker, Ryan Ramczyk, top 10 offensive tackle, Adam Trautman, their starting tight end, Deontay Harris, their all-pro returner, Quan Alexander, starting linebacker. You can't make up that depth. You can make up some of it, maybe a position or two, sure, but you can't make up that depth. I don't love Carolina. They started out hot. They've been awful since McCaffrey's been out, and they're awful without McCaffrey. I'm not going to play this game either way. 7, you said it was 7, right, the spread?
Yeah.
That's awful. That's way too many. I believe in Sean Payton more than most coaches in the league. I would side with the Saints probably just because I like Payton. But if I were better, I wouldn't even touch this game. Too much unknown. Way too much unknown. I might go under. The under's got to be extremely low. I think it's 40.
39.5.
I might still take that under. The Panthers have scored. They haven't scored over 21 points for at least 9 straight games.
Is that a fact? Hold on. Let me pull it up.
That's not a fact. They scored 8 of their last 9 games have been under 21. There we go. That's a fact.
Okay.
But that 21 is even kind of a high score for that spread. Either way, like I said, the Saints can't move the ball, even with Kamara. If you don't have a quarterback, if you're starting Ian Book, you're not going to move the ball. And similarly, Cam Newton isn't great at keeping drives alive himself. They need McCaffrey. It's a low under, but I would still take that if I played this game.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with you on a lot of your analysis. I just, you know, it feels like the Carolina Panthers essentially given up on their season. It's definitely a lost season for them. It started off pretty good. I think they were 3-0 with like the best defense in the league. The defense has regressed, not as nearly as much as Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, they brought him in for like platoon duty. Him and Cam Newton were like kind of like co-starting or co-lead quarterbacks last week, and both were terrible in their own way. So I don't know. I lean to the total, the under on the total as well. But it seems fairly obvious, right? I mean, That's my only issue. But then again, nothing's that obvious when you set a total at 39.5. I don't care how bad these offenses are. The offenses could be so bad that they give turnovers or short fields to the other team. So
All you really need is one random defensive touchdown and you're basically solid.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, next game, Philadelphia Eagles visit the Washington football team. Washington football team is getting 3 points at home, heavily juiced, plus 3. The total is 44.5. Seems like the sharp money's on the over, but the public is on the under. Do you have a play in this game?
I will say I find it odd that the Eagles are coming off of a game where they destroyed Washington. Maybe not destroyed, but they beat them worse than the score indicated. It was 27-17. I know because I bet on that game and it was a push at minus 10. I understand that Washington's line was decimated in that game and that they were just letting Philadelphia run all over them. I just don't think that Taylor Heinicke being back matters that much for them to be at home and be a favorite. Philadelphia has been way better at the spread this season. They're 5-6-1, whereas Washington's 5-9-1. Given that both teams are going to be playing their best football, I mean, there's definitely not a playoff. Neither team is necessarily outside of playoff realm yet. Washington's pretty close to outside of there, but I think they'll still be playing for something. I like Philadelphia here. I think they still have something to prove, and I think they, if you can get them probably plus money odds on the money line, I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, I don't know what the money line is right now for them, but they're minus 3. The Eagles are favored in Washington. Just to clear that up for you.
Yeah, I read that wrong then. I think I would still take minus 3 for what it's worth.
Yeah, the money line is minus 165 in the consensus for the Eagles. To me, it's Washington or nothing. This is you know, a perfect spot to get Washington after they were just embarrassed on Sunday Night Football against a far superior Dallas team. They actually played Philadelphia pretty well a couple weeks ago, as you alluded to. They were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, and this is with just pretty much no defensive line and their third string quarterback at this point, or maybe not even their third string, maybe their fourth string. It was Garrett Gilbert, right? Some dude off the practice squad. So I think this is a good buy low spot for Washington, sell high spot for Philly. I don't know if they should be favored on the road right now. As a matter of fact, have they been a road favorite at all this season? Philadelphia as a road favorite is, they're 2-1 with a plus 11 ATS margin. So there you got that going for you. As a home underdog, Washington is, they're just 2-3 against the spread. So I feel like, you know, the it would be a good spot to fade the public as well. You know, there's 77% of the action and roughly 2/3 of the money is on the Eagles. But the line has stayed exactly where it opened at, which is minus 3. So we got a bit of a line freeze there. I'll take Washington plus 3. Whatever, right?
Yeah, I would say whatever, dude. So more power to you. I don't hate it.
All right, let's talk about a game that you'll definitely have on your screen next week, which is the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Chiefs are favored 5.5. The total's at 50. Are you rarely bet the Bengals, right? Because they're your favorite team. Is this going to be one of those spots that you do bet them?
I've just gotten a lot of disappointment over the years betting the Bengals. I mean, we've sucked in the past few years.
Past few.
Past like half decade or whatever.
Sure.
I think Joe Burrow is a top 5 quarterback. I think this is a good spot to bet them in. I think they have something to prove still. They secure a playoff spot with this win. And if the Browns, who are favored over the Steelers, win, I believe that's Monday Night Football. If they win that game, then it's basically a playoff game because the Browns would have the tiebreak. At the end of the day, the Bengals need to win this game. The Chiefs don't. The Bengals, even Uzoma said it earlier, this is a must-win game for them. I think 4.5 is too much. Now, if the Chiefs were maybe 2.5 favorites, I would take them. I think this game could be a field goal game. But It's not sound betting advice, but I will be taking the Bengals, yes.
Yeah, I'm close to getting there on the Bengals. It's a pros versus Joes game. At least according to pregame.com, 58% of the money is on the Bengals at the time of us recording this podcast. 61% of the action is on the Chiefs. But the odds makers have reacted to the public. The Chiefs were -4 in the look ahead, up to -5.5. The Chiefs are rolling right now, and they look like the best team in the league. But there's just something that I like about the Cincinnati team. I love Joe Burrow, huge fan of him. I don't know if I'm ready to put him as a top five quarterback just yet, but he's close. I mean, he's in the conversation for sure. The Chiefs have won 8 straight. I think they've covered several of those games. It's a tough one, but I definitely lean to the Bengals. They're a complete team, and they have a pass rush. They have a good rush defense. They have Joe Mixon who can run the ball. They have an awesome complementary or stable of weapons for Joe Burrow to use between Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. So there's a lot going in the Cincinnati's favor. And I assume that the Bengals would actually be somewhat of a public dog, and seeing that they're not gives me more confidence in them. But it's just tough to bet against the Chiefs currently, right? I mean, the Chiefs have looked so good recently, but
I mean, they've covered 6 straight, 8 straight, 9 straight.
Yeah.
8 straight. They won 8 straight, covered 6 straight. I mean, it's tough to say you're going to bet against that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Bengals look so good. Super Bowl, baby.
But my thing is, like, I've gotten behind the Bengals a few times this year. The first time I won, I took the Bengals. It's slipping my mind, but I bet them heavily and they won. Then I took them against the Browns after they had the stinker against the Jets and they got smacked by the Browns. So I was off them for a couple weeks. And then I got them against the Chargers. And they put up another stinker against the Chargers. So I feel like I'm almost like bad juju for Cincinnati. I almost don't want to jinx Cincinnati for you. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I lean towards Cincinnati. I don't know if I can give it out as a best bet in our final segment going to the window, but whatever. Let's go to the a matchup between rookie quarterbacks of the Jacksonville Jaguars visiting the New England Patriots. The Jaguars are getting 15.5 right now. Holy shit, 15.5 points. The total is at 41. I mean, to me, it's the Jaguars are past, but I've just lost too much money on the Jaguars this year. I can't do it again. and we know Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks is just like pretty much printing money. Like it's almost like a lock that guy just like schools quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks. But he's got a rookie quarterback in his own right, and for a rookie quarterback to be favored 15.5 is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. So it's a pass for me. But how do you see this game playing out?
Oh, I'm all over the under in this game. The under last week, to be fair, in the Jags Jets game would have hit without that kickoff return. Even without that, even counting that, the Jags last 10 games, 2-8 on the total, 8 unders have hit. I mean, let's just look at this real quick. They've scored 0, 7, 14, 10, 17, 9, 7. And last week, James Robinson went out with an injury. They're live or die by Trevor Lawrence, and the Patriots have one of the best pass defenses in the league. Combine that with the fact that the Patriots haven't scored more than 21 in 3 straight weeks, and I will definitely get behind an under 41 that I have at 41.5.
So if you're into the under, does that make you like lean towards the Jaguars? Because, you know, if there's fewer points and one team's getting 15.5.
If they even get to 10 points, what do they have to get to cover that? 26?
Right.
I mean, and that's pretty close to the total there. I honestly just, I'm not sure I see them getting more than 7 points. I mean, Against the Rams, 7 points. Against the Titans, zero. I mean, they had to play Houston to get 16 points or the Jets to get 21 points. They, I mean, they've been putting up a couple points on mediocre defenses. I mean, imagine them going against the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I don't think there's any chance the Jaguars get much movement. I mean, I could see it being like 28-10.
Right. Or you're under could cash like a 24-7, something like that. Like
this could be a trash game and it'd be 24-3.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that as well.
Either way, I'm playing. That's going to be my best bet of the week is the under in this game.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, hey, we'll go to one of my best bets of the week, which is the Miami Dolphins visiting the Tennessee Titans. The Miami Dolphins are getting 3.5 points coming off their Monday Night Football victory at the New Orleans Saints. The Titans just beat the San Francisco 49ers, I think 20-17 on Thursday Night Football. That's, you know, I love betting the Titans as a underdog, but I like fading them as a favorite as well. And I think the Dolphins match up really well against the Titans. The Titans pass blocking isn't very good, and Brian Flores can scheme up pressure with the best of them. They don't have a traditional pass rush, but they have a really good pass rush, the Dolphins do. Also, Tennessee was just, they were done for last week, right? And then they came out of the locker room in the second half and just force-fed A.J. Brown the ball. And it worked because San Francisco's secondary sucks, and they didn't have anyone they could put on him. Where that's not the same for the Dolphins. They can put Xavier Howard on A.J. Brown, and I just don't see A.J. Brown taking the top off the Miami Dolphins defense. I actually have been high on Tua. I was high on Tua coming into the season. When they went on that 7-game losing streak, I had to quiet down a little bit. But now that he's playing really well, and this is with limited weapons. Devontae Parker's pretty good. Jalen Waddle looks awesome, but they were expected to have a little bit better of an offensive line and have Will Fuller as more of a deep threat. But their offensive line has sucked, and Will Fuller has played like 5 quarters, and yet this Dolphins team has played its way back in a playoff contention. And again, it's just I do not like Miami, or I do not like Tennessee as a home favorite. Miami's 10-5-1 as a road dog since Brian Flores' first year on the job, which is 2019. And since Mike Vrabel's first year on the job, which is 2018, Titans only 14-19 against the spread as a favorite. So I'll take the Dolphins, and it's definitely going to the window with me. How do you see this game playing out?
I was trying to look. It says I think the Dolphins are technically in right now in the playoff picture right now. I think they're the 7th seed in the AFC at 8-7. I was just kind of looking that up because I figured they had to be close. I like them here too. I think what you were kind of going with, how A.J. Brown might be limited. The Titans have had to switch up their offensive game plan without Derrick Henry. Generally speaking, so 40 is what the total is set at right now, and I actually kind of like that. I wouldn't hate betting the over on that. Miami, like you were saying, they've been pretty solid throughout this last 7-game stretch. They've put up over 20 in 20 or more in 6 straight games, and the Titans have an offense that's also in the top half of the league. I wouldn't hate laying it on the over 40 here. I think that would be my play. I don't have much to go on the spread. I just piggyback off what you said. I think Miami's the only way to play it.
All right, cool. Next game here, we have an AFC West showdown between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers dropped a brutal one last week to the Houston Texans, significantly hurting their playoff chances. In fact, they put them on the outside of the playoffs looking in, and that loss and subsequent Dolphins win is what jumped the Dolphins into the playoff picture. But the Denver Broncos are getting 6.5 points. The Chargers are the totals 46.5. I like the Chargers on a teaser play just because I read earlier today that Drew Lock is going to be starting, not Teddy Bridgewater. Otherwise, I really like Teddy Bridgewater and I really like Denver. That's like how far of like a swing it is between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, in my opinion, that I could go from liking Denver Broncos plus 6.5, even maybe sprinkling on the money line, to just I'm down to tease the Chargers to a pick 'em or minus a half point and include them in a teaser leg with another team, which I'll talk about later. It's going to be the Packers. But yeah, I mean, that's how I'm going to attack the game, just because like I'll fade Drew Lock every chance that I get. That guy sucks. I mean, he's epically bad. The Broncos last week against the Raiders, who do have a pretty good defense. We talked about this already. They had eight first downs against the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, the Raiders defense ain't that good. Denver is actually that bad. And like, granted, they can run the ball. Javonte Williams is leading the league in broken tackles. Melvin Gordon's got a revenge game. He used to play for the Los Angeles Chargers, but I just in an absolute must win, Chargers at home going against Drew Lock, I'll tease it. Pending the final injury report, I guess, but I like it enough at least to give it out today as a Chargers teaser leg. But how are you attacking this game, if at all?
Yeah, so I feel like every game I'm saying like, hey guys, just take the under. Like, do I want to say that every time? Is it the fun way to bet? Maybe not. But as we've said before, you start with a winning ticket. And I also think Drew Lock's horrible. Teddy Bridgewater ranks 12th in the NFL in completion percentage. He's not an elite quarterback, but he'll keep drives alive. Like, I watched him against the Bengals almost beat us just because he kept drives alive and he can move the ball. If McManus hits a couple of those field goals, the Bengals may have lost that game. I do think Bridgewater is significantly better. On that note as well, the Broncos giving up the fewest points per game, and similarly, they're not really scoring points at a high rate. I understand the Chargers offense. The Chargers offense scoring 29 against Houston is why this total has blossomed up to 46. I don't really see that hitting. But like you said, it's a do or die game for the Chargers, so maybe they come out slinging the ball. Either way, I'd be more comfortable with the under, and I would go with, I don't really have a great gauge on the spread. But if Drew Lock's starting, if you're confirmed with that, we'll just let it ride on the Chargers end.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater was announced today that he's unexpected to play. And he isn't practicing as of Wednesday, when we're recording Wednesday. But as of today, he's not practicing and still in concussion protocol. Also, to further kind of help your over or under, Joey Bosa was activated from the COVID list. So,
yeah, that's kind of my point. I was just going to look at this COVID list. This COVID list updated 9 hours ago, probably before the Bosa news, has Slater, Bosa, and Chris Harris. I mean, if those three are out, it's just so hard to predict those games. If those three are out, they could be a 3-point favorite. And if all three play, they could be a 12-point favorite. So,
yeah, I mean, so I'm going through RotoWire right now. They haven't updated the Joey Bosa news, so there's still a little red COVID next to his name. Apparently, Rashawn Slater is off the COVID list, but Corey Lindsey, their start center and first-tier center, is on the COVID list. But the secondary is like ravaged with COVID. Nazir Adderley, Chris Harris, Michael Davis all have COVID. Derwin James is listed as questionable with a hamstring issue. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that sense. But I can't figure out that stuff. And given the new rule, which is essentially the honor system for the NFL with COVID, I would assume that really all these guys are going to play.
Well, it's the same thing you were saying with Trey Young the other day. What'd you bet the Hawks and then, or you bet against the Hawks and then Trey Young gets announced like 2 hours before the game? Like, yeah, he's playing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's tough.
It's impossible to predict. Like, we're doing a podcast and most podcasts drop days before you would put a bet in. You can't predict if the center is going to come off the list right now.
Yeah. No, that Trae Young one was terrible. The Atlanta Hawks tweeted the night before Trae Young was out with in health and safety protocols.
Two hours before Trae Young is playing.
Yeah. And then so as I did the handicap, did the write-up for Sportsbook Wire, I did it. I included the Chicago Bulls, who the Atlanta Hawks were playing, as a best bet on my Bet Slip and Daily NBA Show podcast. Check that out as well, guys. And then after I essentially hit publish on both, it was announced that, oh yeah, Trae Young is actually going to play. It was like, oh, all right, sweet. And this is me like triple checking the night after I had read the Atlanta Hawks official Twitter announce him out. Like, yeah, to your point, I mean, it's hard to like get your arms around all this COVID news and all these health and safety protocols. But, you know, we're just doing our best and trying to make the most out of this shitty COVID situation, at least with sports betting. Next game here, though, we got the Houston Texans visiting the San Francisco 49ers. The Houston Texans are getting 12.5 points, been steamed down from the 15.5 look ahead. The total is sitting at 44 right now. This is actually the one total I will play. I'm going to go under in this one. I'm assuming you either lean to the under or maybe you I don't know. You're a bigger under player than I am this year. How do you feel about this total, or do you like a side?
It's crazy. I didn't really go for the total in this game. After seeing some of the throws Davis Mills was making in that game, I don't think there's any way in the world you could bet against the Texans at 12.5. Now I will say I saw this open. Well, I saw it bettable at like 14.5. And I would have loved to get on that. I think I'm still in like the fade San Francisco mode. I mean, they're 3-4 at home, so they're not a great home team. And on top of that, I just don't trust Jimmy G to get the job done. I understand Kittle's healthy and he's been great, but
Jimmy G's not playing.
Oh, he's out?
That's the one thing. All right. So
is that a COVID thing or
no, it's not a COVID thing. He he tore some ligament off the bone and then the bone chipped. Hold on, let me get to the San Francisco RotoWire page. He has a sprain and a fracture in his thumb. He sustained a UCL tear and fracture in his right thumb during Thursday's 2017 loss to Tennessee. And Kyle Shanahan on his press conference today said there's a chance that Jimmy Garoppolo could play. Let me decode that for you guys. There is a 0% chance that Jimmy Garoppolo plays. There is no one in the history of head coach press conferences more full of shit than Kyle Shanahan. And I don't even, that's not even necessarily a knock. I get it, right? You don't want to show your hand type thing, but if I could make a side bet, I would 100% bet whoever that Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing in this game, which is a big reason why I like the under. I mean, the 49ers.
That makes me feel even better about Texans 12.5. Like, I don't hate Trey Lance, but he hasn't thrown for over 55% completion percentage in a game. Who knows if he's going to even be able to hit Kittle on the money. And the Texans surprisingly looked really good against maybe the Chargers were kind of just like, or the Texans look good against the Chargers. Maybe the Chargers were just like underplaying how good the Texans were, but the Texans have veterans. And Davis Mills is looking good. He threw for over 250 last week and he's got over 2,000 yards on the season. He's 5 touchdowns, 1 interception his last 3 games, thrown over 200 yards in all 3. I mean, I like the Texans 12.5. I think this is the only double-digit game where I would hit the underdog, because we were even talking about the 62% rate or whatever earlier. I think I would hit the underdog in this one.
Yeah, I don't hate that either. If I were to play either side, it would definitely be the Texans plus the points. And just like the example or microcosm example of San Francisco being overrated or being a perfect fade team is just like the lack of coverage for how badly they fucked up that third pick. Like, they could have Mac Jones right now and they didn't, because they caved to public pressure. Like, Adam Schefter reported San Francisco traded up for Mac Jones. The internet went nuts. Everyone clowned on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And then they ended up changing it up and going with Trey Lance, who's still not ready to play. Like, it's outrageous to me that they could trade up for a third pick and then flip-flop on the pick. And no one criticizes the front office. No one criticizes Kyle Shanahan at all. Like, how do you trade up with a Super Bowl roster for a new quarterback, and then that quarterback can't even get on the field when the current quarterback sucks and continuously underperforms? Like, the game that Jimmy Garoppolo had on Thursday Night Football was egregiously terrible. Egregiously terrible. Like, I am one of the biggest Kyle Shanahan haters in the football community, in the NFL community. Even I don't even know if I'm part of the NFL community, but let's just say that I am. I'm one of the biggest Kyle Shanahan haters. And that loss wasn't on him at all. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo threw the game away. And still, they cannot get out the third pick in the draft. They still cannot get this kid on the field. It's crazy to me. But rant aside, Houston's 22nd in seconds per snap. The San Francisco's 23rd in seconds per snap, so they both run a slow pace. Houston's coming off by far its best offensive performance of the year in week 16 against the Chargers, scoring 41 points. So regression is due, you would think. San Francisco scored just 17 points in Trey Lance's only start in week 9 against the Cardinals. Granted, Cardinals have a good defense and they were locked in at that point, but San Francisco's gone under the total in the last three games. So I think their defense is actually stepping it up. They're playing pretty well. I could see them putting forth a strong effort again against Houston, who just had its best offensive performance of the year. So I like the under 44 on this one.
Yeah. Don't hate it.
All right, cool.
Lions Seahawks.
Yeah, Lions Seahawks. Seahawks are favored with 7 points right now. Have fun with that one. Total's 43.5. If anything, I'd bet the Lions. I don't have Jared Goff's numbers in front of me against Seattle in front of me. I'll pull them up in 1 second. But do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, no, I have no play in this game. I'm not playing this game.
No.
Dude, Russell Wilson is way too talented to be this bad. I've bet the Seahawks a couple times, and they disappoint me every single time because I'm like, oh, you should beat the Bears by a touchdown. No, you can't beat the Bears by a touchdown. I'm not playing this game. I think, if anything, play the Lions. They just play harder, and I think Seattle's probably about to give up on the season anyway.
Oh, yeah, that last loss was pitiful.
That's about the only analysis that I really looked up, is that Seattle's going to give up.
Yeah.
No, and Dan Campbell's men are not.
No, absolutely. I mean, they have had every reason to give up since like the beginning of the year. Like, it's been pretty much
since
a throwaway.
Week four, they could have called it a season.
For
but
sure.
Here they are with 2 wins and a tie.
Yeah, I think they went down like 28-7 to the San Francisco 49ers in week one. They could have just been like, you know what? The season's over. But they've...
What are they? They're like, what, the fourth best covering team in the league is the worst team in the league. That is absurd. They're 10-5 against the spread. Absurd.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have them tied for third, actually. Third best cover
rate.
Yeah,
so tied for third. Tied with Indy at 10-5, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's like Detroit or nothing, but Jared Goff is still dealing with, well, he's considered day-to-day with both knee issue and COVID, but they could be getting DeAndre Swift back. And in fact, they should be getting DeAndre Swift back. God, as I'm looking at it now, I don't know how to pass on the Lions. Like, to me, it feels like too easy
every week for the past like month.
I mean,
probably been your best bets
for sure. I mean, it's the only profit I've gotten in this goddamn NFL season has been the Detroit Lions. Jeez. I should have thought more about this game, but whatever. I guess we can both just pass on this one. Next game, I have a play in with the Los Angeles Rams visiting the Baltimore Ravens. Los Angeles Rams are favored 3.5 points. Total is 46.5. I'm taking the Rams here. The Ravens secondary is just a complete shell of itself. You know, they have mad people on IR, and you know, Lamar Jackson's still battling an ankle injury. He should get back out there, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. And I have the Rams in the Super Bowl. I have the Rams winning the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills. And Bengals? What's up?
Against the Bengals?
No. I have the Rams winning the Super Bowl over the Buffalo Bills. And I got to be honest, the season's starting to play out for the Rams how I thought it would play out. I thought their defense was going to regress a little, and their offense would have to pick up a struggling defense midway through the season. To an extent that happened, but I think that the defense is going to come together towards the end, down the final stretch, and against this just terrible pass blocking unit, I think Aaron Donald's just going to have a field day, and I think he's going to be in the backfield all day against the Baltimore and being Lamar's face, and I think the Rams are going to be able to throw the ball in this just banged up Baltimore pass defense, which has been really bad this season. So I'm on the Rams here -3.5. But what say you on this game?
Yeah, I just don't. I was at the game where my Bengals just slaughtered the Ravens, and I don't understand how you can even think about that game and bet the Ravens. I think my other point is, even if Lamar's out there, Lamar's the number one quarterback right now, even with his missed games, the number one quarterback in rushing yards. I'm watching a video right now of him limping at practice. I know it's only Wednesday, but he's missed multiple weeks. He's not coming back at full strength. Their secondary still has, or Chris Wesley's still on the, I think he's their third string cornerback. He's still on the COVID list. Who knows? I mean, they have multiple people on the COVID list. Huntley's still there. I don't see how there's any way you can bet against the Ravens, who just gave up probably the most passing yards of the season to Joe Burrow, and then say Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, who should be the offensive player of the year, aren't going to just absolutely annihilate them. I mean, the Ravens, yes, they have a great ground game, but they rank 32nd in passing yards, and that's just going to get absolutely abused against the Rams.
Yeah,
I love the Ravens -3 or Rams -3.5 is going to be one of my favorite bets of the week as well.
The Baltimore Ravens pass defense is 30th in passing DVOA. Like, they have the third worst pass defense according to Football Outsiders. They rank ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars and New York Jets. It's kind of a miracle they're in the playoff hunt as of today, honestly.
If they give Lamar one more week to heal up and then he wins the last game against, looks like the Steelers. If they win the last game against the Steelers, 9-8 might be able to squeeze them through.
No.
Maybe.
No way. No?
9-8 squeezing no one through. Never mind.
I don't think. No, because they lose the tiebreaker to a couple teams, don't they?
They definitely lose it to Cincinnati. I don't know if they lose it to, like, the Browns or the Chargers or whoever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They actually beat up on the Chargers pretty good, so they wouldn't lose to the Chargers. They definitely lose it to the Dolphins. Dolphins beat them on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks back. So,
either way, there should be no way they cover this game. The Rams are going to be a huge public favorite, so we've talked about going with the public. It shouldn't matter in this one. This should be like a 35-17 game, 35-10 game.
Yeah, but we're in agreement on this one. All right, Sunday Night Football, the Minnesota Vikings going against the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are favored 7, or favored 6.5 on the consensus line. The total is sitting at 47. This is the second of my teaser leg. I'm going with the Chargers tease down to a half point and Packers tease down to a half point. I might try like a middle spot here, actually, when it's all said and done, and tease the Packers and then bet the Vikings at plus points to try to scoop the whole thing. Because I do think it is too many points, given, you know, how well Minnesota's played against Green Bay in the Mike Zimmer era, and they even beat him earlier this season. Granted, it was a back and forth game that was hotly contested, but the Vikings did pull that one out. But I just, you know, I couldn't there's no way I would bet Kirk Cousins in prime time. Excuse me, in prime time. So I'm just going to tease it down and then take Aaron Rodgers at home in prime time and like a coronation of their awesome season. I mean, I don't know the official status of their home field advantage, but I'm pretty sure if they win this game, they go a long way in locking up home field advantage throughout the playoffs and earning the first round bye. So I like the Packers here on the teaser leg, but what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think I need the teaser leg to like the Packers here. They're 7-0 at home. They're the second best team against the spread. I'm kind of hurt that you didn't give me your whole analog of how bad Kirk Cousins is in prime time, because I usually get that when the Vikings are in prime time. I don't see the Packers losing by more than a touchdown. Like I said, they've been great against the spread. Their last game was kind of fluky against the Browns. Baker threw how many, 4 picks, and they still couldn't win by, or they didn't cover that spread. I think they lock it up here. I think this is a great situation for them.
Oh, you think they're going to win by 7 or more?
Yeah, I'll take, I think it's 6.5 right now.
Yeah, so
gotta win by touchdown. I'll take the 7 or more for sure.
All right, cool. Monday Night Football, I think we're on the same side here of this one, but the Cleveland Browns visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are getting 3 points at home. It's like one of those things where it's like, man, is this a trap? Because that's the only explanation I can have in like reverse engineering this line. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, what are the records of the two teams?
I mean, the Browns are 2-5 on the road, and the Steelers are 5-2-1 at home. The Browns are 7-8, and the Steelers are 7-7-1. I mean, this is a win or go home game for both teams. You lose, you're out of the playoffs. You win, you have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is an absolute no brainer. I mean, this is like, it's, how is this not everyone's best bet? The Steelers are 6-1-1 against the spread in the last 10 years as a home underdog of 3 or more points. They own the Browns. The only time the Browns have beaten them in the last 4 attempts or last 5 attempts has been in that AFC title or that playoff game last season. But I mean, you know, the Steelers lost to them last season as well in the regular season, but that was with, I think, Mason Rudolph was starting, right? Yeah, Mason Rudolph started that
and
game.
And you didn't have Najee Harris either, so that's been a pretty huge addition for them.
Yeah. So the other thing is this is probably going to be Big Ben's last home game. Like, I can't think of bigger motivation. Like, to me, it's the wrong team is favored. Like, that's, I think this line is absolutely outrageous. So I'll totally be on the Steelers at +3 in this spot. I don't know. It feels almost too easy. Like, that's what I'm most nervous about, is how like confident I am in the Steelers in this game. Do you have any pushback on any of this?
Yeah, no, I have zero pushback. I'm not taking the quarterback that has 8 picks in his last 5 games. Baker has thrown for over a 60% completion percentage once in his last 5 games. And those games included Baltimore twice and Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm not a Baker believer. I don't think he's that good. I will say the one problem I have is looking at this, the Steelers rank 32nd. They're giving up 143 rushing yards per game. They must have taken over that worst spot from the Chargers or the Jets. I mean, that's all Cleveland's going to try to do as long as Pittsburgh can stack the box. Tomlin should be good enough to know you're going to need to stack the box versus Chubb, who has over 1,100 rushing yards. I guess Chubb is my only fear, really. Everything else, so many things point to the Steelers. I can't see any way in not taking them. Yeah. And they're coming off a really bad game where the Chiefs just dominate from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Steelers. I don't see any other way about it.
Yeah, I mean, the first game that these two teams played, the Steelers beat them on Halloween 15-10. It was in Cleveland. Cleveland had Odell Beckham for that game. They had Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb only ran for 60 yards, and it's not like there's been major injuries from this point to from that point to this. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, their pass or their rush defense just completely fell off the map.
I mean, they did give away Melvin Ingram for nothing, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, but wasn't it Melvin Ingram's first year on the team? Like, it wasn't like he was a major difference maker.
I thought he was a big boy in the middle. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought he played a little bit of a impact for him.
I'm just saying, the reason that they went from, like, a pretty decent rush defense to the worst in the league isn't because of Melvin Ingram. Like, they just, like, I don't know. I guess TJ Watt, has battled some injuries. Maybe there's some of that at play, but I don't know. I do not get how this game is lined at the Browns favored 3 on what's probably Big Ben's final game in Pittsburgh. Like that's outrageous to me. So I'll take the Steelers plus 3 here.
And if he loses, the air is over.
Even if he wins, the air is pretty much over, right?
9-7-1 might get it.
Wait, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said.
If they win, they go to 8-7-1. 9-7-1 automatically beating out all those tiebreakers might get that 6 or 7 spot.
Sure, but they're not playing at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, like, this is Big Ben's last game in front of Pittsburgh, most likely.
Yeah, no way you lose the send-off game.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, that feels like too square of an angle, but, like, what the hell is bigger motivation than this? Like, dude, we own the Browns. Like, Mike Tomlin, you know Mike Tomlin's going to be in the locker room. Like, we own the Browns. This is Big Ben's final game. There's no way we're losing this fucking game to this team. No way. Like, I don't know. I don't get it at all. So I'll just take the Steelers, whatever. But we did some good work in this podcast. Let's wrap it up like we do every week with our final segment we call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, Brosive. Let's do it. This is pretty much your time to shine here since you're the one carrying us this season. But what do you got for your best bets?
All right, you want to go one at a time?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, 3 spreads, 2 totals. I got Green Bay minus 6.5.
I'll take the Dolphins plus 3.5.
And then we'll go to the last game we talked about. I'll go Pittsburgh plus 3.
I'll also take Pittsburgh plus 3.
And then I'll take the Rams minus 3.5.
I'll take the Rams minus 3.5 as well. I'll give out one more. I like the Raiders plus 6.
All right, good deal. And then for my totals, I got Patch Jags under 41.5.
I'm going under 44 in the Texans 49ers.
And then lastly, Jets, Bucks under 45.5. Fade the goat.
Yep. Fade Tom. And I'm going 1 6-point teaser. I'll take the Packers down to 0.5. I'll take the Chargers down to 0.5.
Yep. All right.
All right. That does it. That's your week 17 NFL betting breakdown. Do us a favor. Show us some love on social media and wherever you get podcasts. We're on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Sorry about missing last week, but your boy had to mend up. He was under the weather significantly in the health and safety protocols, but I'm back. I'm doing much better. So looking forward to handicapping the final week in the NFL regular season with you, and then hopefully making up all the lost units in the playoffs. But good luck whether you fade or follow us. Hopefully you guys are following Nate because he's killing it this season. But hopefully we made some money. But best of luck. Peace out.
See you.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.